It's a blessing to be back with you tonight. I'm very thankful for the opportunity and the invitation to be here with you. It's good to see a lot of friends and brethren and sisters in Christ that we don't always get to see and visit with a lot. So very thankful for that. I was told tonight was in my meditation trying to study a little bit this afternoon and just couldn't seem to get settled on what to try to speak on tonight. And I made a comment to a brother that seemed like I had so much that I wanted to say and just such little time to say it in. And he said, well, I'll give you permission to preach to midnight. So I just want to let you know tonight that I've been given permission by a deacon in another church who's also family, but that's neither here nor there. I hope that you'll pray for us for a little while tonight, that the Spirit of the Lord would be with us in a special way. I'd like to turn your attention tonight to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew and read a few verses toward the end of that chapter, beginning in verse 24 of Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Hope that you'll pray tonight that the Spirit of the Lord would direct as we try to speak in His name. Matthew 16, 24 says this, "And then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" It's interesting questions that he asks, isn't it? You know, this is the end of the year, and while some of you are reviewing your portfolios and your investments and where you're going to place all of your money in this next year, all the money that's not taken from you by the government, it's important to pick the right place to invest in, isn't it? If I had a title to place on this message, it would be Sound Investments in Christian Discipleship. You know, discipleship is an investment, isn't it? I mean, it's something that we have to put something into in order to get something out of. The first thing I want to notice, though, about this message, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ asked the question, what has it profited a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What's the gain? What's the bottom line gain if you could gain the whole world, but gaining the whole world cost you your soul? Now tonight I want to be very clear that this isn't talking about losing your eternal soul. Let's make that clear. In fact, let's make that clear before we go any further. The Lord Jesus Christ begins this passage. He says, "If any man will come after Me, if any man will come after Me, let him do some things. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Now that phraseology there where he says, "If any man will come after Me," is very different from a phrase that he uses over in John chapter 6 where he says, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me." It's a very big difference than if any man will, and all that the Father giveth Me shall. That's a big difference, isn't it? If any man will come after Me, what's that mean when he says, if any man will come after Me? What is he talking about? I believe he's talking about Christian discipleship. Coming after Him, it means following Him. He was speaking to a group of men that were following Him. They were His disciples. And he says, this is the criteria. If any man will come after Me, he has to do some things. I want to make it very clear, though, that he's not talking about regeneration. He's not talking about eternal life. Because over in in John chapter 6, he says, all that the Father giveth me might come. All that the Father giveth me has an opportunity to come. Is that what that says? All that the Father giveth me has an invitation to come. That's not what that says, is it? It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You see, there's a difference between coming to Christ in regeneration and being born again and coming after Him in discipleship and fellowship. He doesn't say all that the Father giveth me shall come after me. That's not the case, is it? You know how I know? Because I'm one that hasn't in times past. All that the Father giveth me will not necessarily come after me in discipleship, will not necessarily come after me and be my disciple and follow me and obey me, but all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's a difference there, isn't it? Not most, not 99%, not the vast majority, not even those that hear the gospel and respond and believe. But all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That is a direct work of God, isn't it? And it's an immediate work of God. When we talk about the rebirth and regeneration, it's a one-time thing, isn't it? How many of you have more than one birthday? I know some of you that would like to claim more than one birthday, maybe. We only have one day of our birth. I was born one day. June 17th, 1975. That was the only birthday that I have, and I have to celebrate. I used to look forward to celebrating. Now I have to celebrate it, or I have to at least observe it every year. It comes around every year. That's the only day that I was born. You know, it's the same way with being born of the Spirit. It's a one-time thing, isn't it? But now discipleship, don't you wish discipleship were the same way? That you could just fall into a category of following after Him and then it was no more work after that? The apostle, or the disciple, the writer, Luke says, he inserts an important word when he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily. Discipleship's a daily task, isn't it? And it's conditional. It's conditional on man. It's conditional on man's will. And it's conditional on man's work. Aren't you glad eternal life is not conditional on your will or your work? We wouldn't be here tonight if it was conditional on us, would we? And by the way, it's too important. Eternal life and sonship, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in John 6. He's talking about sonship. How many of you made the choice to be a son of your natural father? Anybody made a choice? We don't make choices to become children of our father or mother, do we? That was a choice that was made for us. I remember one time I made the comment that it's too important. I believe that, you know, the Bible teaches that our eternal life and sonship and relationship with God is too important to be left into your hands. It's too important to be left up to your will and your work. I remember one time where we moved from our driveway slopes down to the road. And we were in the driveway one evening playing ball, and I was near the house, and Joshua was near on the bottom side of the driveway. Not on the bottom side, but somewhere in between. And we were playing ball up and down the driveway, and that ball got away from him and began to roll down the driveway. And just like a child will do, he ran after that ball. And then I saw a car coming down the road. And I knew that if I didn't do something quick, there could be a catastrophe. So what do you think Daddy did? You think Daddy stood at the top of the driveway and said, Joshua, if you'll just listen to me, I'll come save you. No, Daddy hollered loud. But then Daddy took after that child because it was too important to leave into his fickle decision making. If it's that way with you and I as earthly fathers, what about your eternal life and sonship with God the Father? It's too important to leave up to your will and to your work. It's not man's will. It's all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But now notice in Matthew chapter 16, he uses the word if. That's a condition, isn't it? That means it might happen and it might not. If any man will come after me, that means it's left up to man. You believe in free will tonight? You believe that man has a will? I believe that man has a will. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we had a will and a desire to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Even the unregenerate, even when we were dead in sins, we had a will, but our will wasn't toward God, was it? It was to fulfill the desires of self. We have a commercial that comes on TV sometimes at home that says, it may come on down here too, it says there's these people in these apartment buildings and they stick their head out the window and they say, "I want my money and I want it now." You know, that's the nature of man, isn't it? To want what I want, when I want it, right now. I want what I want and I want it now. That's the nature and the desire of man, isn't it? We also have a will, though, after we've been born of God. Do you know where that will comes from? The book of Philippians says this, that it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. I talk to people all the time and they tell me, "Hadaway, I don't believe that God drags people kicking and screaming who don't want to have any part of Him to have to be born again." And my response is to that, I don't either. We don't believe God drags people kicking and screaming that don't want to have anything to do with Him, because the psalmist says that He will make them willing in the day of His power. Is that the day of the power of the gospel? Is that the day of the power of the gospel minister? Is that the day of the power of the evangelist or the missionary? No, brethren, that's the day of His power. He makes us willing. You have a will to follow God tonight? You know why you have it? Because He gave it to you. You see, we can't even take credit for the will that we have, can we? It came from God. But now, if any man will, do you have a will tonight? You have a will to come after Him. You have a will to be a little closer to the Lord in 2014. Boy, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? To say 2014. My daddy didn't think we would make it past 2000. And here we are at 2014. Do you have a will tonight to be a little closer to the Lord next year than you did last year? I hope I do. You know, I have good news for you tonight if you do. There's a way. You've heard the expression, where there's a will, there's a way. Christ gives us the way right here. He says, if any man will come after me and be my disciple and be closer to me and follow after me, these are the requirements. Let him do these things. Let him deny himself. That's an easy thing to do, isn't it? Deny self. I struggle with Hadaway every day of my life. It's not other people that I have the problem with. It's that man whose face I shave every morning. That's the problem that I have. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him put self on the back burner, in other words. That's so opposite of the world's philosophy today, isn't it? The world's philosophy, we teach in middle school, in the seventh grade, we used to teach I didn't, I wasn't an English teacher, you can probably tell that, but we used to teach a unit in language arts in the middle school that the very first unit of the year, English language arts teachers would teach their kids a unit that was entitled, "It's All About Me." That's the title of the unit. And the whole unit, the whole 9 weeks was teaching children that it's all about them. That goes contrary to the Scripture, doesn't it? You know what we hear so much of the world today about self-esteem and having enough self-esteem. Now, I don't read anywhere in the Scripture that teaches me that I need more self-esteem. Do you? I tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, let us esteem others more than self. If any man will come after me, who are we to esteem? Well, firstly, we're to esteem God, aren't we? And we're to esteem others. That takes some work, doesn't it? I don't know if anybody that has fine-tuned that process or not. But if you want to be Christ's disciple, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and let him follow me. Let him follow my commands. Let him follow my rules, Christ says. Let him follow my examples. He was the perfect example, wasn't he? In every way. And then he makes a very strange comment. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now that's an odd statement, isn't it? Anybody in here ever found something by losing it? Or do you lose something by finding it? How does that work? Lord, how does that work? How do we find our life by losing it? Well, again, he's not talking about losing eternal life. Aren't you glad tonight that there's nothing you can do to lose your eternal life? By the way, if you could lose eternal life, it wouldn't be eternal, would it? I mean, if I could have a life today and lose it tomorrow, that's not eternal life. That's one day life. Christ said that I give unto them, speaking of his sheep, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a pretty secure place to be tonight, isn't it? He's not talking about losing eternal life. But how many of you know that there is a spiritual enjoyment of life that we can lose here in this world when we seek ourselves? When we put ourselves at the head of our agenda. He's not talking about eternal. What he is talking about, though, I remember one time the Lord Jesus Christ says, I come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, what he's teaching here is not how to get life and hold on to life and keep life. He's teaching us how to enjoy the life that we have in a more abundant way in following him in discipleship. Whosoever shall save his life. How many of you can look at times in your life when you've been so concerned with self and saving something that I want that you've lost out on something spiritually? I remember a man by the name of Peter one night warming himself by a fire while the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. Lord Jesus Christ had already told him, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. He said, Lord, there's no way I'll do that. And Peter's warming himself by the fire. And on 3 different occasions, somebody comes up to him and says, you're a disciple of Jesus, aren't you? And 3 different times, Peter said, I never knew him. I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. And the last time, the Bible says he cursed and swore that he never knew him. You know what Peter? You know what Peter was after that night? He was after saving his own hide. He was after saving himself. Well, you tell me, what was the gain? The Bible tells us that Peter immediately went out and wept bitterly. What did Peter win that night? What was Peter's profit that night by saving his own hide? I tell you, he lost, didn't he? Whosoever shall save his life. I remember a rich young ruler that came to the Lord one time and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? His question was flawed from the beginning. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching him in that lesson, no matter what he did, he couldn't get eternal life. I think that the Lord was teaching him that in order for him to get life by his works, he had to do it all. That's a simple answer, isn't it? If you want to get eternal life by your works, it's very simple. All you have to do is do nothing wrong and do everything right. That's the simple answer, isn't it? Simple answer, but a hard, impossible thing to do, isn't it? The Lord told that rich young ruler after he had said, "All these things have I kept. I've done it all, Lord, from my youth up. I've never made a mistake." The Lord said, "Yeah, but one thing you've lacked. You go and you sell all that you have and you give it away to the poor, and then you come follow me." What was that rich young ruler's reaction? It said that he went away very sorrowful because he had great riches that he wasn't willing to give up to follow Christ. What was his net gain? That was a loss, wasn't it? Whosoever shall save his life, you see, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it, or the same shall save it. How many of us tonight are willing to lay down our life for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we live in such a blessed society today. In such an insulated society today that if our eyes could be opened a little bit and we could see the persecution of Christians all over this world, we wouldn't get a wink of sleep tonight. It's going on right now as we speak. As we're in this climate control building worshiping the Lord, there are Christians across the waters being persecuted for the very things that we're doing tonight. How many of us would be willing to lose our life in order to get these spiritual blessings? I read a book a couple of years ago. It was written by a Chinese man who was a head of a house church over in China back during the Cold War era. And for being involved in a house church, he was arrested and sentenced to life in hard labor simply for doing what we're doing tonight. But you see, it was worth it to him. He was willing to lose something because what he was gaining in return was far greater than what he was willing to lose. You understand that? You know, life is about trade-offs. Every decision that we make in life is a trade-off. You're here tonight. Your decision to come here tonight is a trade-off that cost you whatever else in the world you would be doing if you hadn't have come here tonight. It's a trade-off. Was it worth it to you tonight to be here rather than somewhere else? You gave up something is what I'm trying to say. All of us gave up something to be in the house of God worshiping Him tonight. Is it worth it? I hope it is. It is to me. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else tonight. I don't know if you're enjoying it tonight, but I sure am right now anyways. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else tonight but then to trying to preach in the Lord's name. I wouldn't trade anything. What would you trade tonight for your... I'm not talking about your eternal life, but what would you trade tonight? What would you give in exchange for the life more abundantly and the spiritual delight that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it worth to you? It's priceless, isn't it? That's what he asked when he asked the question, what has it profited a man if he gained the whole world and it cost him his soul? I used to wonder when I was little, I used to wonder what it would be like. When I was a teenager, I used to wonder how neat it would be to own my own island out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Own my own island. Wouldn't that be something to call it Hathaway's Island? I don't know what you want to call it. But to say that's my island, my piece of real estate, my goodness. But how much would that cost? If you could put a price tag on a small island, a 2-acre island, 1-acre island, That'd be more than I'll ever wish to make in this life, in multiple lives. And sometimes Dana and I, when we go to the beach every year, we'll drive up and down the beach and we'll call the numbers, you know, just to see what how much real estate costs on the beach. It's amazing. For a little spot on the ocean, how much does that cost? What if you could gain, what if you could put the whole world up for sale? What would, if Brandon Realty or Tampa Realty could put a for sale sign on the world, what would it cost? I don't know if you could, my mind don't compute that high. But what if you could gain it? You know, there's been men in history. History's riddled with men who've tried to rule the world. They've never been successful, by the way. It belongs to God. They'll never get it. But what if you could gain the world? What if? But what if gaining the world cost you your soul? Not your eternal life. You know what the soul is? The soul is the place of innermost spiritual desire and delight. What would you trade for that tonight? It's priceless. The whole world isn't worth trading what you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. And the next question that he asked is, what shall a man give? I believe this next question is the flip side of that same thought. What is it profited? What is it profited if a man shall gain the whole world and it cost him his soul? What is it profited? What's the bottom line of that figure? I tell you, it's a loss, isn't it? The flip side of that says this. He asked a similar question in the opposite way. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? I believe the question that he's asking there to his disciples, children of God, what are we willing to give? What are we willing to invest in exchange for the spiritual delight that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it cost us something. It cost you something here tonight. It cost you some gas money. That's not cheap anymore. I mean, when I was little, gas was under $1 a gallon. Can you believe there was a time? It cost you some time. It cost you having to listen to me. That's a big investment that you made. But what shall you give in exchange for? You know, Christian discipleship is an investment. It costs us to give up something. I guarantee you this year, in 2014, I almost said 2011. That'd be way off, wouldn't it? I wish I could turn it back that easy. I guarantee you, based on what the Lord, not on Michael Hadaway's words, but the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you put into your investment with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more delight you'll get out of it. The more time you spend reading your Bible, that's an investment, isn't it? The more time you spend in God's house, that's an investment. You have to give up something to be here. The more time and energy you spend in prayer and talking with your God, that's an investment. You might have to get up 15 minutes early. Oh my goodness. But it's a worthy investment, isn't it? What shall you give away? What are you and I willing to give up more of in 2014 in exchange for more spiritual desire, delight in the Lord? May God help us this year to be willing to draw more closer to Him and walk a little closer to Him. It'll cost us, may even cost you school-age children some jeering and some mocking at school. I remember a time when I was one of my friends, I called him a friend, he wasn't a very good friend, I soon realized, tried to get me to do something that I wasn't interested in doing. I said, no, I don't want to do that. And he said, oh yeah, that's right, you're a Christian, aren't you? You're a little Christian, you don't want to do that. I thought everybody, I was young enough to think that, I was naive enough to think that everybody was a Christian. I was in private school and went to church all my life, and everybody's a Christian. Young people, it may cost you a little bit. Old people, it may cost us a little bit too. But no matter what the cost, It's a worthy investment, isn't it? And to His honor and glory, may God bless you is my prayer. Amen.